Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is George Taylor, and it's my pleasure to serve as your lay leader today. As we come together in fellowship this morning, let's begin by standing together in body or in spirit as you are able and singing from our gray hymnal, hymn number 346, Come Sing a Song with Me.
Welcome this morning to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. It is a dark and gloomy day, but it is lovely to be together. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my joy and pleasure to serve this congregation as the minister.
And it's time now for this morning's special music, and I think we have two Daves performing for us this morning.
We did not have visual contact for a second, but he's here, and
nothing is impossible right there in the name. Impossible is spelled I'm possible. Nothing is impossible, it's right there in the name. Impossible is spelled, I'm possible. More women than ever in the Congress. A first for elected Muslims. A win for Native American. In Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Texas, and Tennessee, all right, in the Senate, their first woman. Nothing is impossible, it's right there in the name.
Possibility by the Reverend Linda Susan Ulrich. Open up the doors. Push on the looming wooden arches embroidered with ironwork. Brace shoulders against the weight of history unmoved. Slough off the musty spell of unused joy and sort up sorrow. Knock dust off the hinges if you have to, and let your breath precede you inside. Open the doors more. Make room for a shaft of sunlight to cross the threshold. Give the dust mote something to dance about. Peek through a single slice of possibility, and name even the half-hidden truths that you see. Open the doors wider still. Pour yourself through the gap. Strut or sneak or sidle as suits you best. Cleanse whatever scrapes catch your skin and bind up the wounds that keep you from entering whole. Open the doors as far as they will go. Draw on the strength of the stones beneath you. Ground yourself in a firm sense of who you are. Stand as a beacon, welcoming the next seeker, and shine far beyond the lintel and sill. Open all that you are. Heighten and deepen your connections to the world around you. Broaden your definition of neighbor. Grow into the largest target for grace that you can muster, and pray to become a gateway for even greater love and compassion. Open up the doors, my friends. When Benjamin Sander, the longtime conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Symphony and co-author of The Art of Possibility, begins talking about possibility, he tells this story. Two men went to a distant country to sell shoes. A day after their arrival, the first man called home and said, "It's a calamity. They don't wear shoes here." Soon after, the second man called and said, "This is an amazing opportunity. Nobody has shoes here yet." For Vander, this story illustrates perfectly how possibility works. What is possible is all about the story you tell. According to Vander, so many of us don't see life as full of possibility. Instead, we see it as a downward spiral. Sanders says as soon as you notice that you're talking about what's gone wrong, what isn't right, what needs to be fixed, how they're wrong and you're right, you are in the downward spiral. Well, isn't that New Year's resolutions? Focusing on what's wrong, what isn't right, and what needs to be fixed. If we are so inspired to set New Year's resolutions, isn't that what we do? We write a plan about how to fix ourselves. The top three New Year's resolutions of 2019 are, not surprisingly, eat healthier, exercise more, and lose weight. After that, kind of way down on the percentages, there are more goals to fix ourselves. Save more, spend less, quit smoking, read more, and make more friends. Even if you have given up New Year's resolutions, which is, I guess, the rage now, Oprah's done it, many of us have lists of ways to fix ourselves. We will be different than we are. And when that happens, life will be better, the story many of us tell says. We will be better, happier, more joyful. The problem is that when we don't become different, when we don't meet our goals, when life isn't better, we are inclined to feel badly. We spin into a downward spiral, focusing on what's wrong. Of course, if we do well with the goals that we set, we go into an upward spiral. The problem with up, though, is gravity. Downward always lurks below, like the Sultan in this morning's story. We are in a society where there is a tremendous focus on human perfection. We get spun into that downward spiral so easily. It seems to be the nature of ordinary, white, dominant culture that we've all grown up in. Our culture lays out some pretty concrete goals to live within. What you're supposed to weigh, how much you should exercise, how many steps you should take every day, and how much sleep you should get. And we have apps to track that. You can actually buy a little gadget called a Fitbit, which will just tell you all those things. We also have cultural norms about success. It's defined by job titles, salaries, the houses we live in, the cars we drive, the vacations we take. And we have all kinds of ideas about how we should feel. Happy, content, joyful, engaged, full of life. And if we aren't meeting those established goals and cultural norms, of course we want to fix that. And if other people aren't meeting them, we want to fix them too. Just ask someone who weighs more than people think they should. Heavier people are often told other people's plans to fix them, or other people's plans that they should get out there right now and fix themselves. The same is true when people are suffering with pain or illness or grief. We don't like uncomfortable emotions or feelings, so people have a plan to fix that. Surely you have thought, I certainly have thought, that the problem with our country and with our environmental situation is that people don't think right about it, and we should just go out and fix them. They should just figure out and think like we do, and all would be well. And that is the downward spiral. Things are going how they should. Things aren't going how they should. Things are going the right way. Things are not going the right way. The downward spiral is a story that we tell ourselves about how the world works. We don't have to frame life that way, as a thing to be conquered, as something that we do properly or improperly, something we should fix when it does not meet our standard or someone else's standard. Benjamin Zander does his work on possibility with his wife, Rosamond. She does most of the writing. He does most of the speaking, and it is no wonder. He is vibrant and full of humor and joy. And when he talks about the downward spiral, he takes a big black marker and draws spirals with his whole arm up and down a big sheet of paper tacked to an easel. And then he rushes across the stage to another easel, picks up a big red marker, and makes flashing red lines away from the center so the illustration looks like fireworks. When people live in possibility, their eyes shine, he exclaims. After watching him do this in three different presentations, I was all in. I want to live on the side with the fireworks and the shining eyes. I want all that sparkling energy, and I want you to have all that sparkling energy. I want you to have shining eyes. I want it for my family, I want it for Portland, and I want it for our whole world. So, says Xander with a bright, cheerful smile, you just have to tell a different story. His wife says this just as cheerfully in her book. You just need a new frame. How confident they are. Change the story, expand the frame, everything changes. So I've been contemplating stories, my stories, cultural stories, and what I've discovered is story frames can be very sturdy, and they can be very easy to get stuck in. There is significant scientific consensus in psychology and neuroscience that people make meaning through the stories that we tell. Facts and dates and logical arguments just aren't what persuades us, as much as Unitarian Universalists would like them to be. People can be logical and rational, and that is brilliant when you're building a computer or sending someone to outer space. But neuroscientists say reason has very little impact on how we act in the world. We make sense of our lives and the world through stories, with their emotional color and depth and the ways they express causality. We act in the world based on the stories we tell. And we create stories about everything. We have stories about our lives and perhaps different versions of the story of our lives for different audiences. We have stories about why the climate is changing, how racism works, and why our uncle is an alcoholic. We have stories about why the Seattle Seahawks lost. Why someone stormed out of a church meeting and how we ended up with the set of dishes we have. And these stories matter to us. They help us know who we are and how to respond to things that happen. If someone storms out of a meeting and our story is, that person is always dramatic when they don't get their way, we will behave very differently towards them than if our story is they recently had a significant life shock and are really struggling. We also tell stories that we aren't even conscious of that matter to how we live our lives and act. In The Pathways of Possibility, Rosamund Xander tells the story of a man whose father yelled at him at age 3 for picking flowers in the garden. His father told him it was a stupid decision. The man accepted, then and there, as a 3-year-old, that he made bad decisions. That was part of the story of who he was. And he had made bad decisions. He was a bad decision maker. And he didn't even know he thought this. Instead, he just acted it out. He was very cautious about decisions. And he ran into troubles when he wanted to be promoted where he worked. They said he was too cautious in decision making. He didn't make them quickly enough. It was only when he remembered the story and realized that his father was probably mad about something else entirely, and it had absolutely nothing to do with him, did he start making more confident decisions. And he didn't have to work at making more confident decisions. He just started doing it. That is how powerful stories can be. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie is a Nigerian writer. She went to college in the United States and was a MacArthur Fellow in 2008. Her book, Americana, about a Nigerian woman encountering race in the United States, is the common read at the Monmouth County Library this winter. Adichie gave a highly acclaimed TED Talk called The Danger of the Single Story, which explores the powers of stories to shape reality even when we are unconscious of the ways that they do that. Adichie was an avid reader, very young, but only had access to children's literature from the United States and Britain. So when she started writing at the age of 7, her stories were just like the stories in the books that she read. They were not about her life. Her characters were white, ate apples, and played in the snow. She was black, so was nearly everyone else in her community. She ate mangoes and had never seen the snow. She simply believed written stories had to be like the books she read. That is the danger of the single story, she says. Only later did she discover African literature and learn books could be about people like her. When she came to the United States, her college roommate was very surprised when she could speak English, even though English is the official language of Nigeria, and Adichie knew how to use a stove. While Adichie was equally surprised at her roommate's bizarre assumptions, she learned soon why it was so. In the United States, the story about African countries is about disorder, poverty, AIDS, war, and destructive governments. Other stories about Nigerians and other Africans are not told widely in the U.S. We don't hear stories about friendships, families, university professors, which her parents were, beach vacations, starting businesses, inventions, and artists. Our stories tell us that Africa is a simple and dysfunctional place. So this is what we believe, and we act and reason accordingly. Stories, both conscious and unconscious, affect how we act. They affect how we think. They affect how we interact with other people. So can we just cast off the story of the downward spiral as easily as Benjamin Zander striding across the stage and picking up that red marker and drawing fireworks? Both of the Zanders think so. And I suspect Adichie would argue it is true as well. A new story can be as powerful to change as letting go of the old story, as the old story was. And I had a perfect experience of this while I was writing the sermon. So one of the stories I tell about myself is that I really struggle to pronounce words that I don't know. I have believed this since I was very young. I was an avid reader, and there were many words that I had only seen and never heard said. So you combine that with my dyslexic mind that gulps words whole without breaking them into phonetic bits. That's a bit of a thing about dyslexia. And so I was pretty doomed when it came to words. So I would say things, and people would laugh. I was so embarrassed. And the story I told myself was that I couldn't pronounce things, and so I tried not to say big words very often. And many of you have undoubtedly noticed me act out this story. When I preach, I practice very carefully every word I'm not sure about until I have it right. And then when I'm speaking, I get closer and closer to the word, and a voice in my head says, you can't do it. And guess what? I can't. So today, I almost blocked out the story told by Shimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I just knew saying her name was not something I could do. It was impossible. Fortunately, I caught the irony of that thought immediately. I needed a different story, one where I could pronounce things. Of course, that little girl with her huge reading vocabulary and dyslexic brain couldn't pronounce things. Of course she couldn't. And no one should have laughed at her. They should have lovingly helped her figure out how to deal with that. And I know that none of those people meant to be mean. It was probably so amusing to see a child so confidently pronouncing big words completely wrong. Rosamund Zander calls the next step of the process moving from a child story to an adult story. I went back and did what would have been mostly helpful to me in the first place. I was very patient and kind with my dyslexic mind that gets confused in the middle of long words. Dyslexic mind seems to just grab the whole word and, like, the first few letters just tell you what it is. And I found out that pronouncing Nigerian is really easy because you say all the letters in the word just like they are. Shimamanda Ngozi Adichie. sometimes changing your story isn't very hard at all. And it's remarkable how quickly it can make a difference in a person's life. Sometimes, though, changing the story takes some effort. You might have to collect a second story, as Adichie suggests, that broadens your perspective. Read African literature if you've only been reading U.S. and British literature. And maybe you need a friend, or you need to read something that suggests a new way of seeing something that you thought you understood. Rosamund Zander suggests games to play in her book. A game where you decide, in a very rushed and hectic day, that you have all the time in the world, and start acting as if you do. Or a game where you walk around with love and spirit, as if you just are holding hands with them through the world, everywhere you go, with love and spirit. Or another where you just let go of whatever you've been holding on to. You just feel all those emotions, all that anger, all that distress, all that needing it to be your way, and then you just let it go. Or another one, where you work as closely as possible with nature or with those people around you to be in a tune with them. We are neurologically actually created to tune in deeply with others. And so just play the game, like seeing how you can do that. These activities shift perspectives so you can feel a new story in your body before you write one in your head. So what are the stories that move us from the downward spiral to possibility? It means letting go of stories about the way things must be to be healthy, to be happy and successful, and to have a sustainable, peaceful world. The possibility story is about living with curiosity and creativity. Who am I? What makes me alive? What is happening around me? How am I? Who is the person next to me? Who are they? How are they? Where are we? And what can happen in this moment? What do we create from all of this that's happening in this moment? The Sanders talk about possibility as being like music. The downward spiral is a story about what we need to fix to meet a goal or a standard. The story of a possibility says, I dance, I sing, and I create in this moment whatever shows up with as much creativity and love as possible. The happy man wants exactly what he has. The king can't find anyone else like him. Everyone else is sure they would be happier with something more or different. The king's advisors decided that the king's son can only be happy if he wears the shirt of a happy man, as if happiness could be worn like a shield. But the happy man doesn't have a shirt. It turns out we have to weave our own shirts. We have to open our own doors, as the Reverend Ulrich asks us to do in this morning's reading. We have to dance our own dance of possibility. But here's the good news. We don't have to do that alone. We can dance together, writing stories that explode with possibilities and make all of our lives, eyes and lives, shine. So you might have gathered that this month our theme is possibilities. We're going to explore possibilities all month long. And so you have in front of you a spiral. This is not a downward spiral. This is a spiral of possibilities. So I just want to take a moment and have each of you should have got a pencil or maybe you have a pen when you came in, and I want you to write in the middle of the spiral some words. We're just going to take a moment to reflect quietly and give you some time to think, but something that's possible right now, in this moment in your lives, in the lives of our country, and whatever lives you're thinking about these days. What's possible, not how you want it to be, but with what is in this moment. And I don't want you to have it too private. It's something that we're going to, you know, don't sign your name to it or anything, but we're going to write this, and then we're going to turn them in at the end, and next week we're going to think more about possibilities, and we're going to be writing each week into these circles possibilities. And then at the end of the month, we're going to put them up on the wall so that we can see all the possibilities that we've created in this congregation over the month. And so I would like us to just take a moment to reflect and write something that's possible in these moments and days.
We need to come together in a world that needs our voice, in a world where we can look into each other's eyes and rise and rise. Nothing is impossible if right there in the name. Impossible is spelled I'm possible. Nothing is impossible, it's right there in the name. Impossible is spelled I'm possible.
So these are our closing words. Open all that you are. Heighten and deepen your connection to the world around you. Broaden your definition of neighbor. Grow into the largest target for grace that you can muster, and pray to become a gateway for even greater love and compassion. Open the doors, my friends.